And please take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 6. I don't know how things are going to come out this morning, but you and I are living in a wild age here, these times where there are no shame anymore. And it's as though anything goes. Doesn't matter where you're saved, lost people, they, of course, never did have any shame. But saved people at one time had some shame pertaining to their sin. And that's the way it's supposed to be. But it seems like now that we've kind of jumped in there with the mentality of the world. And with the mentality of the world, all you do is brag about sin, gloat over sin, advertise sin, publish sin. And so that's what I want to deal with this morning. God forbid that you should ever stoop that low, that you ever should fall that low, that you should ever fall into that kind of a category there. That's certainly not the route you'd want to go. It's not the route that God wants you to go. In Romans chapter 6 now, in verse number 17, here's an example of somebody that's saved. This is a Bible example. God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. That had to do with the gospel, how Jesus Christ died for sins, according to the scriptures, buried, rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, and somebody believed that from the heart. They've obeyed from the heart. Doesn't have to do with any obedience of anything on the outside. Has to do with the heart. You believe the gospel. And the Bible tells you that in chapter 16, verse 26, and chapter number 10 as well, and chapter number 1 as well. That's what it has to do. That form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. All right, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. That should be standard. That would be standard for everybody. You know, whereas, you know, time passed, it was the devil. He called the shots, told you when to jump and how high to jump and how often to jump and how to make a big time fool out of yourself. But now you've become, things turned all the way around after you got saved. And the Bible says you became servants of righteousness. That's standard, that's par. That ought to be major change in everybody's life. They profess the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. There ought to be something to go along with it. Paul says, you knew my manner of life, and so that gives you much assurance to what I've got to say back in 1 Thessalonians. And so that ought to be true of you and I as well. You got something to say, it ought to be backed up with some kind of a righteous, holy, living life. And that ought to carry a lot of weight. They're not going to listen to you otherwise, but it's supposed to be that way. It looks like it's normal for the course. Verse number 17, somebody gets saved. Verse number 18, there is an about face. Verse number 19, I speak after the manner of man because the infirmity of the flesh, for as ye have yielded, that'll work. When somebody yields to the Lord, then things begin to work and things begin to turn around and go the right way. He's always going to push you the right way. He's going to give you the green light at the right time, going to put the brakes on, put the red light up at the right time. So you got to yield. Yield yourselves, servants unto uncleanness and unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. 21. It says, what fruit had ye then in the things whereof ye are now ashamed? Ye are now ashamed. And ye are, for then to those things is death. Now I'm going to stop there. Enough is said. You look at verse number 21 there, and there are some things that, you know, you look back on some things and say, man, I can't believe how dumb I was. I can't believe how blind I was. I can't believe how much fog I had in my eyes. I can't believe how stupid I was. I can't believe I didn't have brain number one. I can't believe how wicked I was. And you look back on that kind of a thing, and that's kind of, you look back and say, sorry. So sorry, couldn't be sorrier, couldn't feel more remorse, can't hardly go on, absolutely hate it, now ashamed. That is pattern, that's standard according to the Bible. Standard thing, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful now for the Word of God. May the Spirit of God, Lord, speak to hearts this morning. Help us, Lord, to get our thinking straight. Help us, Lord, not to ever fall in the category of bragging about sin or bragging about a wicked past. God, help us to be thankful that sin's underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. And God, help us to live a life of holiness unto righteousness and righteousness unto holiness. And God, help us to know where shame's at. And God forbid that we should gloat over things that we ought to be ashamed of. The world advertised it, but God, forbid that we should ever do it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Romans chapter number 6. Read those terms there, and the Bible says, whereof you are now ashamed. And you look back, and I can look back, and I'm sure any Christian can look back on things that you're certainly not proud of, you're certainly sorry about, and yet it's an amazing thing how these days it goes the other way. I mean, I have, you know, I'm not, I guess maybe I'm sort of an old timer by now, but I don't look at it that way. Nonetheless, I mean, I can look back a few years and I look at things that people never ever talked about. Now, I mean, they advertise everything, they say anything, and sometimes people who are supposed to be saved, and I would, you know, assume that testimony, they claim to have been saved, and yet it's an amazing thing how they seem like they get their kicks off by telling how wicked they really have been and are. And that's kind of that's not the way it's supposed to be. When I look at it, the Bible says you're supposed to be ashamed of some things like that, whereof you are now ashamed. It's, you know, some of those things you can't do anything about. Like Brother Pacheco said, oh, man, you can't do nothing about the past. It's the future you can do something about. And you can't. If you could, I'm certain you certainly would. But, you know, it's the world that's like, they just, because I think we got too much Hollywood going around town, people got the idea that, you know, the wickeder you are, the more you can talk about it, you know, everything's all right. Not all right. For the child of God, with an actual testimony here, they've obeyed the word of God, they believe the gospel, they've gotten saved. There are some things that you are supposed to be ashamed of, not advertised to the world. Now ashamed, for the end of those things is death. All right, so when I look at that, I say to myself, it's a pitiful condition we've gotten into. It's pitiful how that even saved people, they I don't know what they're doing, but they're throwing away everything, the Bible and testimonies and everything except their soul. It's amazing. Lord, don't say, man, I think I'll change my doctrine here, and they're so wicked, I think I'll just go on and consider them lost. I know you and I feel sometimes that way, but the Lord, he's faithful. And 2 Thessalonians chapter number, or Timothy chapter number 2, you can be thankful that if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Thank God for that. But, you know, I look at the picture here and I say to myself, you know, boy, that certainly does fit. And, you know, servant to uncleanness, you can connect with that. Iniquity on iniquity. And I guess when you really figure that picture out, it's like as though when somebody's lost, they can't get enough of sin. Did I say that right? A lost person like as though that, you know why I can't get enough of it? Because that flesh, you can't ever satisfy it. I don't care if saved or lost, you can't ever satisfy it. A lost person, they get into it, you know, and they think, man, this is, you know, lick their chops and think this is wonderful. Man, I'm really having me a big time. And then, you know, they just continue to get in a little bit further, a little bit deeper all the time because they're never satisfied. They want more, they want more, they want more, they want more all the time, and they're never ever satisfied. And it's iniquity unto iniquity. And so that's certainly not the route that a saved person ought to go. But for the lost person out there, their fix, their momentary, and it's only momentary, their momentary fix has to do with iniquity or sin and more sin and then more sin and more sin until, I mean, everything's destroyed. Everybody connected with them is hurt. Everybody's destroyed. And not only that, they're destroying themselves. They ultimately become a servant of sin, like the Bible says. They are a servant to it. And of course, they wouldn't believe that. They deny that. And they always, you know, come up with, I can quit anytime I want to quit. You've heard that story, and I've heard it too. You know, the strange thing about it is they just, why don't they quit then? And, but you know, and when they do quit, most time it's too late. I know a situation where a fella, he had a hard time. He could, you know, he did a whole lot of smoking. They told me how to quit smoking. And he knew how to quit, but, you know, I can quit. I just like it. You know, and he never did. And then came up with a case of lung troubles and so then he quit. But after about a year of that, and he said, well, if you're real careful now, you probably won't get any worse. But after about a year of that, things kind of began going the wrong way. And he realized that, you know, I just didn't quit soon enough. I didn't quit for about a year, but I'm going to be out of here very shortly. And so I might as well do what I want to do. You know, I can quit any time I want to. By the time they do, it's too late. So what's the use now? I might as well do what I want to do. That is the general attitude of the world out there. They are a servant. They are a slave to sin. And, of course, that's true of any lost person to a greater or lesser degree. Now, the Bible talks about the fruit of that sin. In verse number 21, the Bible says, about what fruit had you then in those things whereof you're now ashamed. Now, you think about the fruit of all that. What is the fruit of it? I mean, the fruit of it is, amongst other things, you're going to take somebody with you. Whenever somebody goes down, you always take somebody with you. Whenever a Christian backslides, always somebody else, with them. I mean, that's just standard. You're going to take somebody with you. I don't know who that somebody's going to be. Probably going to be somebody that's around you a lot, somebody that's near to you, somebody that you love, somebody that's real close to you. You're going to take them down. I mean, that's how it goes. And so when I say, you know, the fruit of it, you certainly don't want the fruit. I mean, think, well, I'm not hurting anybody but myself. You are hurting a lot of people. I mean, around here, you'd be hurting the church. I mean, none of us live with himself. None of us die with himself. And if you was out in a cave somewhere, you can't say, I'm not hurting anybody but myself. You're taking somebody with you. Every time somebody makes a mess of things, I don't care where they're saved. I don't care where they're lost. They're going to take somebody with them. Not only that, there's always a chance that the fruit of it has to do with the fact that you will, very short order, you will become an addict. You will be somebody that all you can think about, all you can talk about has to do with a particular sin, a particular bad habit. You will become an addict to that particular thing. That is the fruit of things that you are now ashamed of. Some of y'all, I mean, you won't say amen, you won't assent to it because you're ashamed, and rightly so. But it's amazing how some Christians, they seem like as though they don't know where shame's at. I mean, is it around here somewhere? I haven't found any shame. I am not ashamed. And it's just a strange thing. The day and age in which you and I live, I can't believe some of the things that you and I see published. I mean, just astonishing what goes on, things that you ought to be ashamed of. But look, my friend, if you advertise it and act like it's okay, you're going to take somebody with you. You're going to be hooked on it. You're going to become an addict. And I mean, everything's going to fall apart. It doesn't get any better. It only gets worse. The Bible talks about the fruit of all that. Not only are you going to become an addict, but you're going to bring shame to yourself and family. Now, you think of some things that have hurt. You think of some things that have been very shameful, and you have had to accept them. You've had to bite the bullet. You've had to live with it. You haven't liked it. It's hurt you. It's took you down. And yet, what are you going to do about it? That's the fruit of that kind of thing. Somebody's going to have to live with it. You're going to have to live with it. I mean, you have to live with it all the days of your life. I mean, you can bring shame to yourself, bring shame to your family. That is the fruit of ungodly living. You will ultimately bring a lot of shame to yourself, like it or not like it, you will. Down the line, that's where it is. Shame to yourself and shame to your family. On top of all that, the fruit of it as well is that you are destroying yourself. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 17. If any man defile the temple, and your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. If any man defile the temple, not this church building, we're talking about your body. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. All right, then you count on the very fact that you are working against yourself. You are working against everything. You can't go up against the Word of God. You can't go against the God of the Bible. You cannot do that and get it by. You're simply destroying yourself. And if the Lord's got to take you out early, take you out early. Say, well, where do you get that from? Two chapters beyond that, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 5. You've got somebody that, you know, they're not going to hear the Word of God. They go off the deep end. Everybody's doing it. It's become very common, kind of a common practice there, as wicked as what it is. It had become very common. And the Lord said, I mean, get them out. Get them on out. And the Lord takes them. It's as though they've become so hard, there's no turning around. I mean, absolutely wicked and no turning around. And the Lord takes them out before their time. That's just how it goes. And so, you know, people, they kind of laugh and they mock about this kind of thing, and nothing to laugh, nothing to mock about. Shame is where it's supposed to be. The Bible says, wherever you're now ashamed, but in the age in which we live, there's no shame. In the age in which we live, it's common. In the age in which we live, it's ho-hum. In the age in which we live, we advertise it. And it's a very pitiful thing that we have stooped that low. And one day he's gonna draw the line, and somebody's gonna go out before their time because they fail to get things right, and they take the world's approach to sin, and payday does come. What happens when somebody falls off? You go off a little bit, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more, and still a little bit more. And finally, somebody goes, totally off the wall, totally off the deep end, plumb off the deep end, absolutely. That's how it goes. Just little, 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 finally. Somebody, they don't even care. They have no shame anymore. They refuse to have any shame, and they go totally off the deep end. That's it. That's the fruit. Amen. That's the fruit of somebody that is a servant of iniquity unto iniquity and cannot have any shame. But down the line somewhere, you destroy yourself. You get in deeper and deeper and deeper until one day you say, man, I got to get out. I got to quit. But I can't quit. It's like a rope around your neck being drawn tighter all the time. And on top of all that, the bottom line is found in verse number 21. And in verse number 21, look, the last word there. The end of those things. The things you're ashamed of. The sins. There's payday for them. And it's not payday like somebody, oh man, I'll get a picture on the front page of something or other. And I'll cash in, cash the chips in. And no, that ain't the payday. The payday is death. That's the Bible. And so you and I, we look at things in time past of which we are now ashamed. He implies that's a standard for every saved person. He's talking about somebody saved in verse number 17. He implies that every saved person looks back on things they're ashamed of. Well, if you're now ashamed, everyone. And for a Christian to have no shame is not up here. It's not even middle. It's under average. It's the bottom. When somebody can advertise their sin with no shame, they don't have nothing going. Believe me. Things out there that you're sorry for, as a saved child of God, you think, so sorry for this, and this or this. But not the world, nor the worldly Christian. They like to tell the world. They want the acclamation of the world. They want to be like the world. And that's the last thing in the world that you would want to be like. The end is not a good picture. And he says, where we are now ashamed. But for somebody to be unashamed of a past, of their sin, they can be saved, but they have the mind of a lost person. And as a saved person, the devil can't get your soul, nor can he get your spirit. But he can mess with your flesh and mess with your mind. That's Ephesians chapter number 2. And if you don't saturate yourself with the Word of God, he's going to mess you up. He's going to mess with your mind. And an under-average Christian thinks like the world. And the devil has given the pitch, and their thinking is far below even average based on the Word of God. It'd be like a lost person to whom nothing is pure. Even their mind and their conscience is defiled. And sometimes saved people allow themselves to get in that position. Let the devil play with their mind and their conscience become defiled. And whereas it standeth out of me for a saved person, verse 17, they are ashamed. There is no shame anymore. Sad to say, very little, not much at all. Now, you and I, when it comes to being unashamed, we ought to be unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also to the Greek. If you're going to be somebody determined, I will not be ashamed, then there's where you go. That'll work. I mean, you ought to go out and you ought to be telling everybody that you come around about the Lord Jesus Christ, how he loved him, how he suffered, bled, and died for him. That is normal. And it seems like as though that sometimes we get it backwards. We get ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We get ashamed of the blood of Jesus Christ. We get ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're not ashamed of our sin. How sad that is. How reversed it really should be. The gospel ought to be, well, that ought to be the thing that all you can think about and all you can talk about. Hey, friend, I got good news for you. Oh, you do? Oh, yeah. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He didn't die for his own. He died for ours. According to the scriptures, he's buried and rose again the third day. According to the scriptures, just like you read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's exactly how it took place. And he's alive now, alive forevermore, and he can save your soul. I got a blessing yesterday, a great blessing. My sister-in-law, Jeannie, that's younger than Shirley, she's got a lot of physical troubles. Jeannie can barely function. And she wanted to know if she could go out the back door over there because her car was parked right in line with that back door. And because so hard for her to even get around and manipulate, for her to come out here and go around and go back, I said, sure, you can do it. And so I went and opened the door and I waited for her. It was one step. And her husband and myself, we helped her down, got her down. And she took her cane and she's going like this. And she got up to the edge of the walk over there and she stopped and she read and said, uttermost. Jesus can save to the uttermost. And she says, isn't that the truth? And I said, yeah, it is. And she said, who did that? And I said, well, you're looking at him. We like to fix them up so they can't get in or out without, you know, Lord having a chance to deal with them. And she said, that's nice. You know what that was? That was a great blessing to me. I mean, after, you know, a week of maybe not a whole lot of shouting ground, that was a great blessing to me. Just that little comment there, you know. And he can save to the uttermost. And so when I look at the gospel, I think to myself, that's where it ought to be. That's for you and I. That's where it ought to be. I mean, and likewise, the Apostle Paul. I mean, this fellow, he finds out what prison's all about. But he said, don't be ashamed of me. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8, Paul says, be not thou therefore ashamed of me, of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of where I'm at. Jump right on in. Jump in the mix here. Jump right on in the mix here and don't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, he suffered the just for the unjust to bring us to God. And he's the one who died on the old rugged cross there. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. And don't be ashamed of my afflictions. Just get right on in the mix here. And, you know, don't hang your head and say, well, I got to get away from that bunch of people. Man, I don't want to be around people like that. I mean, you know, they're just not quite a mix here. I got to just kind of, you know, I can isolate myself. No, jump in the mix. I mean, he said, don't be ashamed here. It's strange how Christians are. They're unashamed when they should be ashamed. And they're ashamed of things there's no reason to be ashamed for. Why would you be ashamed of the gospel? Why would you be ashamed of the Lord? Why would you be ashamed of the Apostle Paul after he's saved? I mean, goes and goes and goes and throws a slammer for it. Why would you be ashamed? But we sometimes don't think right. He said, that old past there, which you're now ashamed. But we sort of twisted things. We're ashamed of things we should have no remorse at all about. And we advertise things that we ought to be so sorry for that we don't even want to admit to it. And if you do reluctantly have to admit to it, but nowadays, lo and behold, there's no shame. And if you're saved, you ought to be ashamed of that which is back there, and that could include not just one or two things like the world thinks, a whole lot more than that. Take your Bible now, look at Isaiah chapter 5. And some of y'all might have an idea of some of the things that have triggered your pastor. But an example here in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Are we not in a day and time like that? Good is evil. Evil is good. Does it fly? Lord said, don't fly. Lord said, woe unto them. And that's pretty much where it's at these days. Now look at verse number 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. They become a drunken skunk, to put it mildly. Now look at the first word. They may have a lot of bright lights out there. They may have a lot of loud noise out there. They may have a lot of company out there. Don't kid yourself, for payday for it. Payday says woe. W-O-E. Then you better believe it's going to be like the Lord said. You got to believe that down the road somewhere, that kind of stuff doesn't fly. It does not fly. But we live in a day and age when, you know, good is evil and evil is good. I mean, things are turned around backwards. And sometimes, saved people, they fall into the same plot or plan. And don't you buy it for a minute. Chapter 5. Verse number 22. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. So we're never going to buy it. We're never going to buy the pitch. We know that sooner or later, most of the time it's sooner, sometimes it's later. But we know that you don't get it by. We know what's connected with it. We don't buy. And so we're ashamed. That is, we're supposed to be ashamed of that kind of a past. Am I telling you the truth? You better believe I'm telling you the truth. That's not the type of thing you advertise and act like as though, ha-ha, I got it by. You might have got it by temporarily. You did not get it by. When it says, woe, I will say, that is what is connected with it. But no shame no more. None at all. We like to tell, you know what I've had people come in here and they want to tell everybody how wicked they were. I said, no go. Yeah, I was wicked, I was rotten, I was in prison, I did this and I did that. I don't want to hear it. And I don't want my people to hear it. And I refuse to let them get up here and just gloat over that kind of thing. And some people, it's all they know. That's nothing for the Word of God. And so they toss this out and toss that out, and they keep your attention trying to, you know, because I guess you might say the unregenerate mind, or if you don't saturate yourself with the Word of God, you're going to be wanting to hear more and more and dirtier and rottener and wickeder. And so they prey on people like that. Now, take your Bible, if you would, and let's look another place. Let's go to Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 3. Look at verse number 3. This is a nation that is backslidden, or this is Judah, the two southern tribes, in a badly backslidden condition. So bad that the prophet Jeremiah, who was not pushing around material, wept over their condition. Describe, therefore the showers have been withholden. That is showers of blessing you could have had, but God refused to dump mine. Been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain. Thou hast a whore's forehead. And describes a whore's forehead. Thou refusest to be ashamed. The Bible said there are some things that a person ought to be ashamed about. And here's a woman who refuses to be ashamed. She has sold her body for a mess of pottage. That's putting it mildly. And she refuses to be ashamed. Take your Bible, look at chapter 6 and verse number 15. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse number 15. All right. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Strange that people can go that far the wrong way, where they become so hard. The Bible talks about being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin in Hebrews chapter 3. And for people to advertise their wickedness, that's just mind-boggling. You can't even fathom that. But that is where we are right now, right before the rapture. Evil's good. Good's evil. In a lot of areas. In this particular case here, here's somebody, I mean, just as wicked as can be, and they refuse to be ashamed. They have no shame whatsoever. Where's your shame? What do you advertise, before or after? Now take your Bible and go to the book of Isaiah chapter 20. And then chapter 47. Isaiah chapter 20. Verse 2. At the same time spake the Lord by Isaiah the son of Amoz, saying, go and loose the sackcloth from off thy loins, put off thy shoe from thy foot. Did so walking naked and barefoot. The Lord said, like as my servant Isaiah walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign of wonder upon Egypt, upon Ethiopia. Look at four. So shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians prisoners and the Ethiopians captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. The Egyptians were ashamed because they were described in the Bible as being naked and uncovered. And you know, these days, nobody has any shame for anything. Look at Isaiah 47. Isaiah 47. And Isaiah 47, look at verse 2 and verse number 3. All right, take the millstones, grind meal. Moreover, thy locks make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers, thy nakedness. And all we're dealing with is bare the leg, uncover the thigh, called in the Bible nakedness. All right, shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame, shame. There's a shame connected with it. Thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. And Lord says, look, do you realize there are some things that are a shame? But where is your shame? Put it this way. When's the last time you've seen somebody with a shame face, with shamefacedness, because of immodest dress or apparel, or lack of dress or apparel? In 1 Timothy chapter number 2, women professing godliness should be adorned in modest apparel, with shamefacedness. That is to expose anything certain ways or draw attention to certain parts of your body is a shame. Where is your shame? The Bible says, of which ye are now ashamed, but there's no shame anymore, even though the fruit of that kind of thing is death. There is no shame. Sad to say, it's a very pitiful situation out there. And so when I look at that, I think to myself, what we have done is we have refused to be ashamed, Jeremiah 3. We have uncovered things that should be covered, 1 Timothy chapter 2. We don't even know what a face of shame is, 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Saved or lost, have no shame anymore. And it's not to be that way. In verse 17, you got somebody, they've got the right kind of testimony. But next thing you know, I mean, they are ashamed of events prior to their conversion to Jesus Christ. However, it doesn't seem to fly that way anymore. If you're somebody who is not now ashamed, and you would rather advertise everything that has gone on, you will be ashamed before him at his coming. There will be a people that is ashamed before the Lord. How'd you like to face the Lord with a shame face or a stone face that refused to be ashamed? You'll be ashamed in that day and that time. But in the age in which we live, no, there's nothing going on. Whereas a Christian should be concerned about holiness. In verse number 22 in the book of Romans there, he talks about righteousness unto holiness. You ought to be concerned about holiness and the right kind of living. That's what ought to impress the Christian. Not going back on the past. You ought to be concerned about living a holy life even now. You ought to be concerned about newness of spirit. You ought to be like the Apostle Paul in chapter 7 and verse number 15, where he speaks about the things that I hate, and looking back on things that he did not hate in time past, now he has a hatred towards them. That's standard. That's the way it should be. There ought to be things that you and I have an absolute hatred for. We feel like they're an abomination. You're sorry that you were ever connected with it. That is standard, and that's the way it's supposed to be. But it hasn't gone that way more recently. And so much so that Paul even made statement there that he was wretched because the things I would not, those I do. And the things I would not, man, I'm doing them. And the things I would, I don't do. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Wretched, because he was one to live right, one to live a holy life. And yet he found the flesh constantly taking him down one way or another. With my mind, I myself serve the law of God. With the flesh, the law of sin. And so it ought to be that way. There ought to be some shame out there, but it's gone the other way. It's now to the point where professing Christians, they don't wear a sandwich board, but it'd be like these guys going downtown at the Hall of Fame parade. There's John going up to the parade there, holding those boards up, you know, prepare to meet thy God. I don't know what the other side said. I think that's the side I saw. And it's as though this crowd, they got the sandwich boards, and there's no shame. It don't matter whether it's drunkenness. It don't matter whether it's nakedness. There is no shame whatsoever to this crowd. It is what you would call not above average, but far below average Christianity. When you can advertise that which the Lord Jesus has graciously and mercifully forgiven, and you can act like no deal, or I have done no wrong, or wipeth her mouth and saith I've done no wrong. That is where we're at now, and what we've got going, where evil is good and good is evil, shows you and I that the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is near, very near, even at the doors. I don't ask people to tell me. I hear more than I want to hear without saying anything. And I say, okay, let's put her under the blood. Let's go on. You can't do nothing about it. If you could, I know you would. But you can't. You put her under the blood, you go on. But God forbid that we should ever fall into this pattern of the world of advertising sin, or the Christian advertising a sinful past, or the Christian advertising a load of sin present. God forbid that you should ever do that. If I'm looking at it right, Romans chapter 6 and verse number 20 and 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. But now, yes, I'm ashamed. But now, thank God, I'm free. Bless God forevermore, I'm free from sin. And Christian, don't you fall into the trap that's out there. You be that one that's unashamed of the gospel. You be that one that's unashamed of somebody that pays the price for preaching the gospel. You be that one that the Bible says, believeth on him, you shall not be ashamed, now nor in the world to come, nor at the judgment bar of God. Bible says in Romans 9, verse 33, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll not be ashamed. Romans 10, verse number 11, you believe on the Lord and you'll not be ashamed. And Christian friend, don't take the attitude of the world that everything's okay. And the more I advertise, the more attention I get. There have been some very, very sad publishments, I guess I'll put it. Even this past week, it shows you how far we have gone the wrong way. When somebody can advertise openly, put the name to it, act as though that I'm not so bad. It shows you how near we are to the return of the Lord. It has been startling. It has been astonishing. It has been beyond belief what has been published in recent. That which we should be so ashamed of is advertised. But please, don't you buy into it. I'm not asking you to advertise anything at all. Get her under the blood. And if you have to reluctantly admit to it, then you can do that. But don't use this as an advertisement to draw attention to yourself how ungodly and wicked you are or were. That is under average Christianity, and we have gone far below the average. We've gone clean down to the bottom. And a word to the wise is sufficient. Father, we are thankful now for the Word of God. May the Holy Spirit of God speak to the hearts of your people. May they be very, very, very thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. May they be enamored, hung up, enraptured, consumed with the blood of Jesus Christ. God forbid that we should advertise sin in a light way, in any way. Lord, deal with the hearts of these folks here. God, I think of the fruit that leads to death. At the early stages, somebody's done forgotten things. Somebody's missed the end. May the Holy Ghost of God get the Word of God to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.